My name is Patricia. Welcome to this week's episode of Demetrius' Journey to Better for Life. Now, I have gone a little short with my introduction and have been told that I need to tell you a little more about me. So, I will be sure to do that. My name is Patricia. I'm an endometriosis advocate, jewelry designer, speaker, and an author. So, I decided things are looking a little different this year in terms of the pandemic. But we still have holidays coming up. What do holidays equal? Eating. Even though eating get-togethers and all that might look a little different for our holidays here in November and December, we're going to have, it's still important to think about nutrition, especially being an endo warrior. Foods play such a big part in endometriosis, both good and bad. As we know, eating the wrong foods can cause so many problems for us with endometriosis, and it's definitely not a good thing. So, as I'm thinking about all of the foods that we will be partaking in the next, over 6 weeks probably? Different all the holidays for all the different religions and everything like that. Then it makes me think, how much do we really think about what goes in our mouth? Yes, we're told to stay away from, dairy, and I don't know about you, but dairy definitely is a tough one for me. I do, I love Italian food. Love lasagna, which has lots of cheese in it, dairy, like Mexican food, which of course you have cheese in it. I love the cheese dip that goes with the chips and salsa, so that's cheese. That's dairy. Occasionally like to have cereal, which is dairy, which is milk. I do like dairy, like when I'm eating. Mainly I like it in the food, like cheese. I guess I'd like to say maybe that's what I like. I guess definitely I like cheese. Different types of cheese. Cottage cheese, ricotta cheese. Like I said, the cheese dip with like the espinaca, like the queso. Like that if I'm having burgers, like the American cheese. So I basically just like cheese, which is good and bad having endo. They said you can have dairy, but try to limit it. So, when we think about, it may not be dairy, per se, but there could be some foods, that are at the dinner table that are full of dairy, depending on what you have for the different holidays. But, when we think about it, it's not just dairy, and it depends on how much of, what things trigger you. Different things trigger different people. So I said, dairy is something that they, technically if you Google it, dairy is one of the things they talk about endometriosis should stay away from. But if you think about it, and you have, I have bowel endometriosis as well. So that plays a role as well in terms of foods or certain foods that may not fit well, per se. There are things that my body does not like. So you have to be a subset, you just have to know what those things are, and you don't always know. You have, of course, food allergies. There can also be things called food sensitivities. And sometimes you may know what you might be sensitive to or your body does not like. But other times you have no idea. There is no idea. You have no idea what your body may or may not like. And if you have, and some of the things too, honestly, some of the things that they tell you to help with endometriosis, if you have food allergies, you honestly may be allergic to it. I mean, I know I have food allergies, and so some of the things that they tell you, they as in nutritionists, doctors, experts tell you to take in general to be healthy, and that's also recommended for endometriosis. I know I can't take because I'm allergic to them. Like, one of the things per se that they tell you that you should take to help with, and you just, it's all about reading labels and knowing all of this, but one of the things that really they need to, that they say they think may help in all this, is they tell you you should eat nuts. Well, I'm allergic to nuts. All types of nuts, and that is one of the things that they, you know, talk about all the time, is you should have nuts. You know, nuts are good, but they have a lot of protein, is what they're saying. So they're like, you know, you can eat nuts and all of that, but if you can't have nuts, you can't eat them. Now, you know, they're, you know, so I can't eat, like, I can't eat peanuts, walnuts, pistachios, all of those things. So that is something that you should think about, because you should know, you know, hopefully you know what your allergies and different things are, because that plays a role in it. You don't want to be taking something if you're allergic to it. But, you know, that's one of the things as well, is you want to make sure, you know, that you know what your allergies are, what your body is sensitive to. And honestly, you may not know what your body is sensitive to. It may take a while, because your body may not react the first time. It may take a minute for it to react. So it may not happen the first time you take it. You may have a little bit of a reaction, but you may not, you know, pay attention to it. So it might take a little bit of time before your body reacts. Pay attention to how your body reacts after you eat certain foods. You pay attention after you eat all the foods. You know, if you have a headache after you eat a certain food, write that down. Keep a food journal. Keep track of your food intake on your phone. There are so many apps out there that will help you. Keep track of all of that. Technology can help you. If you are old-fashioned and like to write it down, write it down. So you see how many calories are going in your mouth, what you're eating. Maybe I ate such and such and it gave me a slight headache. Okay, well, I need to pay attention to that and see what happens the next time I eat it. I mean, I know there are certain foods that my stomach does not like. So I know when I eat those foods, honestly, I'm going to have to go to the bathroom right after. So I, one, limit those foods. First off, I don't have those foods very often. And two, when I have those foods, I make sure I'm in a place where I'm able to go to the bathroom after. I don't have them when I have to be somewhere, like, technically. I don't have them when I have, one of them is, like, I have them, one of them I might have on the weekend when I don't have anything to do so I can be at the house. I have it, like, in the morning, like, when I don't have anywhere to go or anything to do. The other one, like, I'll have, you know, when I don't have to be, like, if I don't have to go to work that day, or I'll have it for dinner or something like that, so I'm not at work, so I'm not trying to run to the bathroom at work, or when I'm not going to be in the car and all of that stuff. So I limit it. I limit my intake of it. And on some level, if I have noticed too, I limit my intake of it. I notice too, sometimes if I don't eat as much of it, then it doesn't cause as big a problem. So I take that into consideration too. So if I don't eat as much of it, and I don't have it that often, then I don't have as big an issue. So be aware of that too. So it's not saying I can't have it in general, but I do limit myself. You know, it's not something, I mean, it's something that, you know, I do kind of like it. It goes, you know, they're both different types of condiments that I do enjoy. But I have to limit myself on them. So, I mean, I do what I need to do for my body, but it's not something that, you know, you can make concessions. But like I said, I just make sure that I'm at home and not doing anything else and all of that. And that's how I handle that. But, I mean, there are a lot of, but you just, it's something you have to pay attention to. I mean, it's not something, I can't say it happened overnight. It's happened over time. But I'm like, oh, I equated the two things. What did I, you know, it's kind of like a, uh-oh, I'm having bowel issues. What did I eat today? I don't know, really. Also, something else I think that really can play a role is sometimes it may not be what you eat. It could be stress. I feel like stress could play a role in your bowels too. I honestly don't know. I had a horrible time last week with them, and I, for the life of me, do not know what I ate. Sunday was a horrible day in terms of bowels. Don't know what I ate that day that caused it to be so bad, honestly. Did not eat my food that I, did not eat my trigger food, even though I was going to be home. I did not eat my trigger food, even though I was going to be at home, because I had a big speaking event last Sunday afternoon. So I did not eat that, so it wasn't that. So I really don't know what caused it. All I can think of is maybe it was stress, maybe. I don't know. But let's just say it was, honestly, it was the whole, honestly, it was like the whole weekend. I mean, I had issues from, not as bad, Sunday was like the worst. But I had issues from like Thursday to Sunday. And, you know, some of it could have been stress. Last week was a busy, busy week for me. November has been crazy busy with all the different things going on. Having that speech, having that speaking engagement was amazing. I was on a big stage, all of that. And that was just one of the many things I was doing last weekend. That was, you know, one of the biggest things I was doing last week, but that was like, just like one of many things that I was doing. Last weekend, I was finishing up just doing all types of things. Not to get off topic too much, but we'll talk about it in a future episode about a book that I have coming out with some other amazing women. But I was finishing up book edits last weekend, so I just was doing all types of things last weekend. Finished up the book, speaking, so it was just all types of things on that. So, I mean, that could play a role in terms of bowels as well. So, it's not just always nutrition, but it could be. But we need to pay attention to nutrition as well. And I know nutrition is something where, like, sometimes, especially in this pandemic, we are so used to, I feel like, honestly, I don't know what it's like in other countries, but, you know, message me, let me know, leave me a message, let me know what it's like in your country. Here in the U.S., I know that we are big people, huge people on eating out restaurants, fast food, sitting down, just processed food, which is horrible for endometriosis, by the way. Processed food is horrible. Just everything about it is just horrible. High in unhealthy fats and sugar. It doesn't have much nutrients, fiber, which can lead to inflammation. And as we know, inflammation basically equates to pain, because if you're inflamed, you're normally in pain. So just having, oh my goodness, all of those processed foods, burgers, just grease, fries, all of those things that, you know, we like to eat here. So, also, ironically, you know, it talks about not only something to think about. Not only does it say, you know, talk about processed foods, but also, you know, some fats can be bad, right? You know, talked about fried foods. Oh my goodness. When you think about fried foods, you think about French fries, all that. Fried foods, honestly, candy, pastries. Fried food honestly makes me think of a funnel cake and, you know, just carnival fun. But no, we haven't had any of those things this year. But on the other hand, it talks about, you know, they say some fats can be bad for you. So omega-6 fats are bad, which are found in plant oils such as corn, cottonseed, and peanut oil. I can't have peanut oil because I told you I'm allergic to all that. But ironically, there are a lot of food places popular. I'm not going to call out their names, but I will tell you this much. There are a lot of popular food places that do cook in peanut oil, okay? Peanut oil can increase your pain, cramping, and inflammation. So, if you are someone who has endometriosis, I gotta tell you, watch out for the fast food places that cook in peanut oil, because they claim that peanut oil is healthy, but based on the research and different things I've done, and with endometriosis, it says omega-6 fat causes inflammation, which is horrible, horrible for endometriosis. And like I said, a couple of the huge chains use peanut oil and claim they're healthy. So you could be thinking you're eating a healthy burger, but it could be cause, you know, it could still be causing problems if they're using, you know, certain types of oil or healthier fries. Normally what they're using normally is they're frying French fries in the peanut oil, and or they're using it for, you know, chicken, could be fish, burgers, all of that. So this is that some of the big chains are using peanut oil, and I know this for a fact because I have to label check. Food allergies, you have to label check. So I know that for a fact because there are chains I can't eat at due to the fact they're using peanut oil. So I know that some of them are using peanut oil. On the other hand, omega-3 fats are great, which are fish, walnut, and flax, which can help reduce your pain, cramping, and inflammation. So on some level, if you're using, like if you are, let's say they're frying your fish, okay? And I'm using fish as an example just because they've talked about the different omega-6, okay? Let's say you're frying your fish for some reason in peanut oil because I think it's healthier. You're kind of counteracting, right? Peanut oil is pain, cramping, inflammation. Fish is omega-3, which reduces it. So you're kind of counteracting. And I know people think peanut oil is safe, corn oil, cottonseed. But if we're using that, we're honestly kind of hurting ourselves in terms of inflammation, all of that. So we need to be real careful in what kind of oils and different things that we're using. Now, flaxseed, I have heard flaxseed is just amazing. Flaxseed in general, flaxseed oil, just flaxseed to your food, all of that. Now, I have not... Well, I have flaxseed. I purchased some flaxseed, but I have yet to use it. I honestly have been trying to determine what to use it in. But I know people who use flaxseed and they love it. They don't have endometriosis, but they use it for other health benefits and they love it. So I am not someone who eats a lot. I told you I like breakfast food, so I try, you know, to limit my chips and salsa and all that stuff. But I'm not someone who eats a lot of pastries or crackers or candy or fried food. But I do, you know, like chips and crackers, and, you know, I do try to limit my processed food. The pandemic has helped a lot with cutting down processed food since we've, you know, kind of stay at home order. Honestly, just trying to cook more food, cook healthier food. I think that has been helpful for a lot of us in terms of trying to, just in general, I mean, that's honestly, eating healthier is still, even eating at home, eating healthier is still just, oh, it's still a issue because we're not going out eating the processed foods, but it's a matter of what are you eating still. There's still so many things that you could have. And like I said, I have food allergies, so I have to be careful anywhere what I eat. And they claim, you know, that you got to watch your red meat. You know, hamburger. You can have chicken, you know, depending on what kind of chicken. But, you know, who wants, you know, I eat chicken. But chicken is not something I want to eat every night for dinner. I have gotten better. You know, I'll eat a salad. Sometimes I'll eat a salad. But it's kind of hard to come up with healthy meals every night that are, you know, good. So, I mean, that's just, you know, and I'm sure, you know, that's something every person with, or a lot of people with endometriosis struggle, just trying to find something that is healthy, that is good, and having food allergies does not help because you're limiting by what you can eat. So about the, you know, for the most part, omega-3s are fish. There are, you know, which are supposed to help reduce, you know, your endometriosis, inflammation, and pain. Now, if you do have endometriosis and you're allergic to fish, there have been, now there, this is something I guess maybe they've just started doing because I hadn't heard about it until recently, then they do have some omega-3 that do not contain fish oil. They're supposed to be vegan. So, they're supposed to be safe, no fish oil. You'll have to look for them and read the label and ask for them at your different vitamin store. I know I was talking about them after doing this research and, you know, went to the vitamin store near my house where I like to go and was talking about them. They're like, oh yeah, we have some that are vegan and they don't have them and this and that. And so that's something that I'm going to be trying to take to see if that can help with some inflammation, if some omega-3. Because previously all the omega-3s I saw were fat. They had fish oil in it. Some, you know, so that's definitely not anything that I could take. So, you know, just be careful. That's the biggest thing, as I've got to tell you, is just read labels. If you're not a label reader, read. If you don't know what it means, look it up. It's so hard to, I feel like it's so so hard sometimes when you're label reading because they have all these ingredients and you don't know what they are. And sometimes, you know, you're at the grocery store, you're in a hurry. But really, there's no excuse for you not to be able to Google them and see what they are. A lot of them, you know, they probably are bad for you. And you don't know them. But you just They're like, I'm sure it's okay, and get them. And in the meantime, they could be causing more inflammation, more problems, more this, more that. I'm to the point where, like, I label read. Well, I've always labeled it because, you know, I'm trying to make sure it's not anything crazy. Like, for example, I need to put this out here just for people, just in case, you know, in the U.S., I guess I should say, they have anchovies in, like, the craziest things, like anchovies in salsa, some salsa brands. Why? I don't know. Anchovies are in some barbecue sauce I used to eat for years. Had someone tell me, hey, did you know anchovies are now in such and such barbecue sauce? No, I did not. I haven't had that barbecue sauce probably in, I don't know, 4 or 5 years maybe, but I used to eat it. Don't get it that often. They're like, yeah, now there are anchovies in it. Well, guess I won't be eating that brand. And it's like, you don't. Like, okay, why would you put it in a barbecue sauce? And if it's something you've eaten for years, why would you check the label? So, like, that would have been a disaster. If I'm like, oh, okay, well, you know, like, sometimes I switch barbecue sauce. I like barbecue sauce. So, you know, I have some, you know, some go-tos. But there's some, you know, that I switch off, you know, back and forth. So let's say I decide, oh, I'm going to pick up this barbecue sauce now because I need a variety of barbecue sauce. And let's say I'm going to make a meatloaf or something, and I need a variety of barbecue sauce because that's what I like. And I just picked it up. Well, I've used that barbecue sauce for years. What if I didn't look at the label and put it in there and it has anchovies? That would have been disastrous. So you better read labels at this point on all your foods. Even if you have used it for years, don't take that for granted. They are using all types of things in these foods, so you need to read the label regardless of if you've used it for years. If you've used it for years and years and years and years, I don't care. Read the label. They are using all types of things, and I have a feeling that that's going to cause a problem, and people are going to be getting sick because you really don't. Most people probably aren't going to read the label on something they have been taking for years because you really don't expect it to change, or they need to market as in now we use anchovies or something, because I'm just like, I just was blown away that they put it in barbecue sauce, and I couldn't believe it when I saw it in salsa. Several years ago I saw it in a restaurant brand's frozen chicken that they sell at the grocery store. I'm like, why do we need, I don't know, I think it's supposed to preserve flavors or something, like, I don't know, something like that. But it's hard for us that have allergies to use those products. So, you know, just try to use just read the labels, is honestly all I can say, is just read the labels, and go from there, because it's really just all about being proactive and reading the labels in terms of that. So, fruits and vegetables. Oh, it's so hard to try to get, well, not for some people, I guess, but it's kind of hard trying to get all of your fruits and vegetables in your meals. Because it's kind of like, what, depends on, like, I guess what you eat and if you plan out your meals. Like, it's, okay, so it's kind of easy, I feel like, to get your vegetables kind of in that best part of the day. Like, for lunch, you know, you can have, and then that's tricky too, what kind of vegetables, you know, can you have? But I feel like you can get your vegetables in the back half of the day. Like, you can get your, you know, your leafy greens, which are supposed to be good, like your kale and your spinach and all of those yummy leafy green vegetables in the back half of the day. But it's kind of like, what kind of vegetables can you get in the first part of your day? Like, you know, so you just really have to try to stock up on your veggies whenever you can get them. Lunch, dinner. If you could fit some in breakfast, you know, good for you. fruit, oh, you gotta suck up on those too. And, you know, eat those when you can. Eat them as a snack. That's something I'm trying to get better at. I need to snack on fruits and veggies when possible. I forgot about broccoli with leafy greens. You know, broccoli is a good one, you know, to snack on. Wow, broccoli's pretty good. I am trying to... I haven't had raw broccoli in a minute. But I need to come up with different ways to eat my broccoli. Because when I ate my raw broccoli, I used to dip it in a range dip. But, you know, we're trying to cut back on dairy products. And then I like my broccoli the other way with cheese. So I've been, you know, I've just been trying to eat more spinach and all that. I haven't even had broccoli. But I need to figure out ways to, you know, what to dip it in or different things. So if you have ideas or what do you dip your broccoli in, let me know. Actually, I'm going to add this week, we're going to have... I'm going to do something different that you call it. I'm going to have a question of the week. And my question of the week is going to be, what do you dip your raw vegetables in besides ranch or blue cheese? I haven't dipped mine in blue cheese, but I know a lot of people do. So, question of the week. What do you dip your raw vegetables in, like celery, carrots, broccoli, cauliflower? What do you dip them in besides ranch and or blue cheese? Please comment back, email me, let me know what you dip them in, and we'll talk about it next week. I'm not next week, the following week, we'll talk about it in the next episode, because I'm really curious to know what you are dipping your raw vegetables in. Those make a great snack. Just need to find some other ways and other ways to eat them to make them healthier. Also, speaking of vegetables, I was also adding on to that, how many people like their vegetables in soup? Like your vegetable soup, again, same with the cheese, which I do not have very often, love broccoli cheese soup. This broccoli and cheese just go together so well. I don't eat it that often. But I, you know, am someone who likes soup occasionally. Don't like it that often. But with the weather turning cold here as we are in fall, and feels like we're already in winter sometimes with as cold as the temperature's been. But as we head into late fall and it's going to be winter soon, do you like eating your vegetables and soup? Like, do you like vegetable soup? Do you like clam chowder? Like, do you like eating soups? And if so, is that how you get your vegetables in the wintertime? And I know that's another thing, too. If some of the fruits and vegetables that you like may not be available during this time because the fruits and vegetables change out during the seasons because we can't get all of them. Some vegetables and fruits don't grow well in the cold weather. That's just something to think about as well. Now, of course, you can always get them canned, which, you know, is a good option. But some people may not like the cans as much as they like fresh. Like, to me, I've eaten canned and frozen spinach, and either one is fine to me. I actually add some spices to mine to make it a little spicier. So that's what I do. So it's like spinach is spinach to me, honestly. So I don't really see a difference in it per se, but I know some people are all about wanting to say there's a difference between fresh canned and all that. I don't see it much in terms of spinach, but you know, everyone's different in terms of that. But we're going to take a short break and ponder on if there is a difference between fresh vegetables, canned vegetables, and frozen vegetables. And we'll be right back to talk a little more about that. And we are back. We were talking about healthy dips to dip your raw veggies in. Besides, I talked about ranch and blue cheese are most commonly, but aren't always dairy. Talked about dip your celery, raw celery, carrots, broccoli, and cauliflower. So, some of the things are still dairy, but some of them are different. So, some of the ideas that I heard are hummus. Hummus seems like it's popular. I haven't had hummus pop personally, but it is made from chickpeas. So that's something I will have to try. I hear they're all different flavors and all of that. Some people talk about Greek yogurt. That's another option. Dairy doesn't have to be careful about that. And I don't know, I'm not a big yogurt person anyway, so I would have to see if I could spice it up or what I could do with that. Something else I heard is guacamole. I don't know if I've talked about it or not, but I have not been a guacamole person, but lately I have loved guacamole. I think I started eating guacamole probably probably this summer, maybe, when I started liking guacamole. It hasn't been too long that I started liking guacamole, but I think guacamole is good, so that's an interesting option. I'll have to try that with some fruit, and I mean some veggies. I'll have to try that. Another interesting one was bean dip, which interesting, but another one I heard was bean dip, which ironically is how I ended up liking guacamole, was bean dip, because my nutritionist at the time had suggested trying something new as opposed to having ground beef. So another, you know, like I talked about liking Mexican food, so something different besides having ground beef, she said, would be to try having bean dip, and as opposed, you know, try like bean burrito, different things like that. So I was like, oh, I don't know if I like beans on their own, because, you know, like I've had burritos with beans in it, but I haven't had burritos with specifically just beans. So I said, well, let me try some bean dip. You know, bean dip has different things in it. And it had, you know, it did have guacamole. It did have some dairy. It did have sour cream in it. What else was in it? It had guacamole. It had a little bit of salsa in it as well, is what it had. So I'm like, well, let me try some, you know, bean dip and just see. I liked it. I did like the bean dip. It wasn't too bad. I even made some myself that wasn't too bad. So I bought some that was already made at the store. And I'm like, hey, I can make bean dip myself. So I made some bean dip myself. I liked it. And then I ended up liking guacamole. So guacamole with raw vegetables is definitely a choice. Would be willing to try the hummus. I've seen hummus at the store. Never tried it. Don't know what it tastes. Yogurt. Really not a yogurt fan, so I don't know if I'm willing to try that. But I love the great ideas that everyone came up with. So those are just really great. Now, in terms of, we talked about flax seeds. Flax seeds are just so healthy for you. And all of that. One seed that I do like, and honestly, just doing seed cycling, which is something I think I've talked about in terms of trying to eat different seeds during different parts of your cycle, it made me realize that I really like sunflower seeds. So I eat sunflower seeds from time to time. I don't eat them all the time, but I do eat them sometimes, and I like to add them with food. Haven't done it recently, but when I first started doing the seed cycling, which I haven't done, I did that last year after my laparoscopic procedure. But when I was doing it, I would try to eat it on, you had to eat it on everything during a certain part of your cycle. So I would try it on everything. The things that I like it on the most, I still eat it on this salad. When I have salad, I still eat sunflower seeds on my salad. But I also would eat it on my spaghetti, which it is and isn't too bad on spaghetti. If you have it with spaghetti sauce, and the spaghetti sauce kind of takes away the taste, so that's pretty good. It's just a acquired taste sometimes. Now you have to be careful because sunflower seeds, depending on what kind you get, do have salt on them. You can get unsalted, but some of them do have salt on them. So you have to be careful of your salt intake with sunflower seeds. So you don't want to eat, you better be careful of that. Don't want to eat too many of them if you have, high blood pressure and all that. You don't want to eat too many sunflower seeds or get the unsalted kind. So that's something else. Just all different types of seeds, just trying ways to be healthier. They are a great snack to have. They do, depending again on what kind you get, if they have salt or not, can be high in calories, even for a little amount. So please be cautious on the portion control on that, because you may think, oh, they're healthy and I can eat whatever, but just because they're healthy and all of that does not mean that they're not high in calories. So keep that in mind as well. Let's see, what else is healthy that you can keep in moderation? Again, red meat, we've talked about that. Red meat, I would say, just keep that in moderation thing. I mean, you can eat some foods that you like, just, make sure you eat it in moderation, depending on what other health conditions you have. Just try, one of the big things is just portion control. I feel like portion control. A lot of times, again, reading the labels of what is the portion size. A lot of times, if we're eating chips, we might just grab a handful and just keep eating them if we're watching them during the game or if we're at the restaurant. Now, at the restaurant, I guess this is pre-COVID. When we were, at the restaurant pre-COVID-wise, then they would just bring you a basket of chips and you would eat them with the sauce up. Well, unless you're keeping track of your calories, we really don't know how many calories are in that basket, nor did we somewhat care. So we don't know how many chips are in that basket. I mean, if we're sharing, if the other people are there, then we're not technically eating the whole basket, but we may not be worried about how many calories are in that dish of cheese dip, espinaca. How many's in that guacamole? Guacamole can be high in calories too, so we need to, depending on what else is in it. There are a couple ways, you can buy, if you buy the guacamole that the authority made, depending on what other ingredients are in it and it's processed, it can be high. If you make your own guacamole with fresh ingredients and use a dip, you can use some seasonings in the package, then that could be a little less calories, but still be conscientious, again, of portion control, serving size, all of that. At the restaurant, you don't know. For example, with tortilla chips, if we have a bag of tortilla chips, we can look on the back and say a serving size is, 15 chips is 100 and something calories. 15 chips is 150 or 130 or whatever it is. So it can be mindful that you just are eating 15 chips or whatever the serving size is, and that's all you're going to have. So I personally have been more, since I have been keeping track of my calories, which is something I haven't done in a while. I did it years ago. But I have been more cautious about, this is what I'm eating. I'm only eating this amount, and this is the portion control that I'm having. So that's something else to be aware of. Keeping track of calories is time consuming, but it is something else that can help you. I don't think I've talked about it on here, but I am an empowerment speaker and speak about advocating for yourself and advocating for your health. And one thing that I talk about, one of the tips, is writing down what your symptoms and everything are. And I believe that's good with a food journal too. What are your symptoms when you eat certain foods? Like we talked about earlier, do you get a headache? Do you feel bloated? I mean, there's some foods where after you eat them, you feel horrible after them. So you know you don't need to have that food again. Or you just feel a little off. Keep track of those. That could be sensitivity. It could be irritating your endometriosis. It could be a lot of things. So keep track of that. Your body will tell you what it likes and what it doesn't like. Sometimes your body does not like or does not respond well to things you like. You have to change them. No, it's not fun that my body does not like something that is one of my favorite foods. And you have to change it, or you can make modifications with it, or it's not good for you. I like pasta. I've said that I like Italian food. Is Italian food or carbs good for you? No. Do I make modifications? Yes, I do. I don't have pasta as much as I used to. I've tried different types of pasta. I have tried having whole grain pasta. I don't think whole grain pasta is, you know, I don't think it's that bad. I know some people, they don't eat it because they don't like it. I don't, you know, honestly, I don't feel like it's that bad. Sometimes, you know, I've made spaghetti sauce, or sometimes I use bruschetta, or I'll use something else. So I'm not always using the, you know, store-bought spaghetti sauce or spaghetti sauce in a can. I'm eating different things with it. Sometimes I just add spices to it and don't even have sauce with it. So there are lots of different ways that you can add things up and still have what you like to eat. I mean, it's all about modifications and changing up what you normally do. Just because sometimes you have to be flexible. I mean, endometriosis is not something that always makes things easy for you, but it's something that we have to deal with. So you have to make the best of it while making sure you're not aggravating it. I've gotten used to not really having pasta. And also, I really have cut out a lot of bread, too, and carbs. And bread is something, honestly, I cut out bread a while ago, even before I got my endometriosis diagnosis. I just stopped, you know, drinking a lot of bread. I really don't drink as much soda, pop, or whatever as I used to. Had to cut back on, you know, drinking sugary juices and all that. If I have juice, you know, I have it every once in a while, pop, different things like that. And I started cutting out bread like a while ago. And if I have bread, you know, I have it in moderation. You know, like I'll try different types of bread. Like I really was a white, you know, I really liked white bread. But, you know, sometimes if I have bread now, you know, maybe I'll try the honey wheat bread or get a different type of bread or something like that. So it's all about trial and error and trying new things. And it's just about finding things that work for you and making those adjustments. Nutrition is so important. And that gets back to the holidays. What, you know, there might be some things that you may not be able to eat during the holidays that everyone's eating, Or maybe there's some things that you may not be able to eat as much at the holidays. Like, for example, I love, you know, cheese, and these two things go together, pasta and cheese. I love mac and cheese. So, you know, I know that mac and cheese is, I'm probably honestly not going to be going. I mean, I'll be going anywhere for the holidays. Didn't go anywhere for Easter or anything. But one of my relatives did to-go plates for us, because we always go over to her house. And so she did to-go plates and just brought them. So Thanksgiving, you know, she might do to-go plates again. I'm not sure. But anyway, I know I like it. So, I might have mac and cheese. You know, I might just make it at my house myself. But I know I'll make, you know, a smaller, you know, quantity, and probably just, you know, not have that big of a serving. But I like it, and that's something I want to have. So it's all just about still enjoying the holidays and the food that you like, but just enjoying it in a smaller dose, smaller quantity. It's not telling you you can't have these things, but it's making sure that you are keeping your endometriosis under control. No one likes having endo belly all the time. No one likes not being able to fit in their pants because they're bloated. No one likes having inflammation. No one likes feeling ill, blah. And no one likes not being able to eat their favorite food. So it's all about finding a way to combine them and get them to work in a happy medium. And no one likes, you know, just feeling like restricted, that you can't eat anything just because you have endometriosis. And that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying we have to find a way, a happy medium, where we can not be miserable over the holidays, but still enjoy the foods that we love. I know I'm still going to be having some mac and cheese. Probably not as much as I like to have mac and cheese. Probably not, you know, maybe I'd like to have two servings, but I'm probably just going to have maybe, you know, a half to one serving, you know, not having as much. You know, I'll be loading up more probably on leafy green vegetables, you know, so I haven't really thought about my menu, but, you know, I probably will make sure, you know, I have some greens or something good to eat. If I'm going to have mac and, like, for example, personally, if I'm going to have mac and cheese, I'm probably not going to have broccoli and cheese as well, because that's too dairy. So I would probably have spinach, because spinach, I can add spices to it, and then I don't have to worry about having cheese twice. So that's probably what I would do personally. And, you know, try to figure out a dessert. So then, of course, I don't want to have a dessert really that has dairy. So I don't know what I'd have. Maybe I'd have an apple pie or something, because I am not a pumpkin pie person, and I'm allergic to sweet potatoes, so I'm not having sweet potato pie. So maybe I'd have apple pie or apple crisp or something. I don't know. Maybe I'm not having dessert. I haven't thought that far along. But it's all about making adjustments. We need to, you know, especially these days, we still need to enjoy our holidays. This 2020 and this pandemic has taken a toll on us. Let's enjoy our holidays. Let's have some good food. Let's do what we can. But let's remember that we want to not stress ourselves. And let's remember we don't want to make ourselves feel horrible the next day, next week, or whatever it may be, by pigging out too much on it. And we should think about nutrition not just during the holidays, but all the time. I know nutrition is something that I am actively working on, trying to figure out new meals and all of that. And I'm, you know, always looking for new meal suggestions, looking for things, you know, new things to try, new recipes, you know, new ways to fix vegetables, all of that. If you have any ideas, you know, please let me know. And I'm sure that you guys have a lot of great ideas about different ways to do that. So I implore you to think of new ways, new ideas. And you know what? If you're fixing food and all of that, why don't you try to get your family members or different things to try some of your meals, okay? Different ways. Maybe some of them, you know, for all you know, maybe they can't have a lot of dairy, or maybe inflammation causes them problems and they just don't say anything. So maybe they would like a little less dairy in some of their products, or maybe they need some help with portion control. So maybe, you know, you could be an example for them. I know sometimes you get, I feel like I don't eat a lot anyway. So I have never really been a person. I don't like buffets, never have liked buffets. I just don't like them because I'm, with my allergies, there are very rarely many things I can eat at a buffet between things I like and things that I'm allergic to. I'm lucky if I have like 5 or 6 options of things that I really, really like and I'll eat and can eat out of all the things they have at the buffet, or things that aren't cross-contaminated. So I honestly just do not like going to the buffet. So I really am some person who really did not like going to people's house for Thanksgiving dinner anyway, because a lot of times they have things I don't like and or allergic to anyway. So that's not my thing. So like when I would go to someone's house for Thanksgiving, or I'd go to a buffet, I'm really not eating much anyway. And at the buffet, I feel like it's a waste of my time and my money, because it's not that big a deal if I'm eating, let's say, 5 things, and I'm having to pay, what does the buffet cost? Maybe $15? And I'm eating 5 things, and depending on what they are, maybe I'm going twice, and my plate's really not that full. You know, maybe I have a couple different things on my plate, depending on what it is. I really just don't feel like it's getting my money's worth. And also, too, if you're going to people's house, then they don't always understand about you can't eat things, and they think you're picky and you're this and you're that. No, I'm just trying to live because I have food allergies. And I don't think people understand that it's life or death situation when you have food allergies. They just feel like you're picky and you're whatever. So honestly, I just like to eat, honestly, at my house. So that's how that is. And honestly, having endometriosis, or any type of disease where foods can affect you, makes buffets hard, because they cook it in whatever. And I mean, buffets are hard anyway, because I don't know what they cook it in. But, you know, for all we know, they might be cooking stuff in peanut oil, which we talked about earlier was horrible for you and caused more inflammation and all that. Which, you know, I'm allergic to it anyway. They could be cooking it in soybean oil, which is supposed to be good for you, but it's bad for me because I'm allergic to soybeans. So, I mean, it's just all types of things. A lot of times, you know, the cooks are in the back, so they're not really able to come out sometimes and tell you what they cook it in, and the other people are trying to tell you, but they don't really know. So it's just a disaster. So it's just easy sometimes just to cook things, you know, at your house. If you're someone else who can relate to having food allergies, you know, more power to you. And, you know, just bring your own food if you have to go, you know, go to things like potlucks at work. Honestly, they're the worst. Because you just don't know what's in them, honestly. And I just, you know, honestly, I'm one of those people who opt out. I value my health, my life. So I opt out of potlucks or things where I have to eat, where people bring in food and I don't know where they come from. My allergies are that severe. I don't play around with my life. I'm not trying to go to ER. I'm not trying to go by ambulance. I'm just not trying to have one of those experiences where I have to go to ER and waste 4 hours of my life and they can't get an IV in my arm. That's not ideal for me and not something I'm gonna deal with just trying to appease someone and eat their food at a potluck. Not gonna happen. But in terms of nutrition, do what's best for you. Eat the foods that you like and that are good for you. If you do have allergies, try to keep a list of your allergies with you. Depending on what they are, sometimes if you have a lot of allergies, sometimes you can forget or you may not think of them all right then. Make sure you let your doctors know, all of your doctors know what your allergies are. Even if they're food allergies, let them know. Like, for example, I, again, talk about allergic to seafood, nuts, all of that. And I went to the dermatologist one time and they wanted to prescribe something. And they, you know, checked and like, we can't prescribe that to you because something they had peanut oil in it. Well, okay, I can't have that. But if they wouldn't have known that I was allergic to nuts, then they would have prescribed that and that would have caused a whole other issue. Because if I would have put that on my skin, then I would have had an even bigger breakout, right? Putting something you're allergic to on your skin is not going to be a good thing. So just let all of your doctors know. Again, it's part of advocating for yourself, advocating for your health. So important, something that is magnified even more by this pandemic that we're going through. Nutrition plays such a big role in just how you're feeling overall. Endometriosis is something that affects so many of us in so many different ways. Trying to keep stress down and try to eat healthy and do what we can. Drink water, 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 water. I need to remind myself that as well. Drink more water. It's just something we need to do to keep ourselves healthy. And being healthy is so important all the time, but especially during this pandemic. And we're coming up on flu season, so it's vital that we keep ourselves healthy. If you have vitamins, take your vitamins. Make sure you take your supplements. Just do everything that you can to stay healthy. Eat your fruits, your vegetables, everything that we can. And if you have anything that you would ever like to talk about, any topics, if you'd ever like to be a guest, be sure to reach out and email me. I am always open to comments, suggestions, anything else that you may have. I know that I did something a little different this week. I actually broke it up into two segments. Actually had questions of the day, different things like that. Talked a little more about my what I did. And I will talk some more about my book and just some other speaking engagements and different things. I know I had an episode earlier where I had, I think it was in April, where I talked about a speaking engagement I had. But we will talk more about speaking engagements and all that in future episodes. I'm still going to talk about going to, when it comes, the time comes, probably won't be until December at some point, about going to an endometriosis specialist. We're going to talk about testing, going to a different type of doctor. We're going to talk about all of that stuff. My next episode is 2 weeks from now, which is on Saturday, November 28th. Which ironically is Small Business Saturday. So I will talk briefly about small business. Since I am a small business owner, entrepreneurial, we'll talk about Small Business Saturday and shout out some stats about Small Business Saturday, since we want to support small businesses in this time going on. So my next episode will be Saturday, November 28th at 12:45 Central Standard Time. And we have talked about nutrition, all of that. We're going to talk about Small Business Saturday in our next episode, as well as some other things. You're going to let me know if you came up with any more ideas about what to dip raw veggies in besides the ones I've mentioned. Bean dip, hummus, Greek yogurt, and guacamole. You let me know if you have any other topics to talk about, and so much more. But as always, thank you for listening to Endometriosis Journey to Butterfly. Have some interesting things coming down the pipe. And I, as always, make this show just for you. I hope that you are enjoying the topics and that you're being well informed. Please stay safe. Please stay well. Take care of yourself. Hope you enjoy your holiday. I will talk to you soon. And have a great day. Bye.